Two very different hours of the time can be heard each evening, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Pleasure to be with you and your listeners again today for hour number three of our discussion of the New World Order.
You got a little magic book there which you incriminates a few people,
doesn't
it?
Well, what I've done, Bill, is I've curated a series of quotes out of various books. I've actually photographed the exact page on my copy scene and photocopy here in Tucson. And so I just thought we could go through these one after the other and discuss in their own literature to prove our contentions. So these things will prove what you and I have been talking about for years.
Okay, folks, well, you heard that. Now, you know what you're supposed to do when you listen to this show. Sure, you should have a tablet or a paper beside you, a pen or a pencil. And as we go through this, Ralph is going to give the name of the book, the exact page that the information is found upon, and he might even give you the paragraph. But he's going to quote from their own words, and we're just going to do a whole hour of this and see if we can't put a noose around somebody's neck. And maybe if all of you out there pull hard enough, we can get rid of one of them in a short shrift. Ralph, why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, maybe a good place to start with the speech that was given in October, in fact, on October the 27th, 1941, by Franklin Roosevelt. As you know, this was just before World War II. Which started shortly after the Pearl Harbor event in December 1941. So Roosevelt went on nationwide radio to tell us about the New World Order. I want to read this quote, just about two paragraphs. Hitler has often proved this, and let's identify Hitler as meaning the head of the German government who was starting World War II. Hitler has often protested that his plans for conquest do not extend across the Atlantic Oceans. But his submarines and razors prove otherwise, and so does the entire design of his New World Order. I have in my possession a secret map made by Germany, by Hitler's government, by the planners of the New World Order. And your government has in its possession another document, a document made in Germany by Hitler's government. It is a detailed plan which, for obvious reasons, the Nazis do not wish to publicize just yet, but which they are ready to impose a little later on a dominated world if Hitler wins. And then this is the key. It is a plan of Hitler to abolish all existing religions.
Now, where did you find that quote, Ralph?
That quote is in a book called The Battle Speeches of the Day, published in New York City. It's November 15th, 1941, volume 8, page number 3.
Now, you talked about New World Order. Hitler talked about the New World Order.
Yes, exactly.
That's not something that George Bush just made up off the top of his head to get the American people to go along with Desert Storm?
No. Now, he's talking here about the same identical New World Order that George Bush wants. The New World Order is out to abolish all existing religions. So what Mr. Roosevelt is telling us is after record. And I want you to learn in one simple sentence that the New World Order of Adolf Hitler is no different from the New World Order of George Bush.
And well, you're the only one besides me who's ever made that statement. All you people out there who thought that Bill Cooper wasn't quite leveling with you, now you've heard it from somebody else. And it's the truth.
It was Roosevelt's right on target. He's telling us the truth. The New World Order is out to destroy all organized religions. Now, this is a quote from Rosenbergman, page 734.
Rosenbergman now is kind of like the same boss on New Recruits in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, or at least they used to, didn't they?
That's correct. That is the contention made, but the book is no longer being given to the Masons at the 14th degree. I was in the Masonic Lodge building in Tucson. I want to share with you, I'm not a Mason, never been a Mason, but I went there one day to do some research. I couldn't find Mackin's encyclopedia at the University of Arizona, so I called the Lodge.
That's because I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe so. I might be where it was. So I went in 1985, went to the Scottish Rite Temple, as they called it, in Tucson. I called ahead and asked if I could come in and look for Mackin's. They said yes. So when I got in there, I did some reading, and a couple of Masons came along and wondered who I was, and I was curious, and I didn't want to tell them. I just thought I was curious. I just wanted to know more about Masonry. So they asked why, and I said, I'm just doing more reading and researching on the study of Masonry. At that time, in 1985, he went behind the counter and showed me a copy of the Morals and Dogma that they said they gave to every Mason at the 14th degree. Mark Sunshine was written a book called A Bridge to Life, and in there he says that they no longer give this book to the Masons at the 14th degree. I have a book to sort of show you what position you choose.
I think that certain lodges did and certain lodges didn't, or maybe all of them did at one time, and now maybe only a few lodges do. Any kind of lodges do have a lot of leeway to act independently as long as they don't violate the Constitution of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry or the Constitution of their lodge.
Well, let's talk about who the author was, Bill. I know you've told your listeners who the author of the book Morals and Dogma was. But just for those who maybe have never heard this before, Morals and Dogma was written in 1871 by Albert Pike. And Albert Pike was the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry from 1869, I believe, to 1891. For some 32 years of his life, this was the number one Mason in the world, Albert Pike. So this book can be relied upon as being authentic. It was published by the 33rd Degree Council in Washington, D.C. This is their book. There is no question about the authenticity of what I'm about to read to you. It's on page 734 of Morals and Dogma. There is in nature one most potent force, by means whereof a single man who could possess himself of it could revolutionize and change the face of the world. This force was known to the ancients. It was adored in the secret rites of the temple under the hieroglyphic figure of Baphomet, or the hermaphrodite goat of Mendes. It is the serpent devouring his own tail. Let's talk about the secret rites of the temple. That is the Masons, and then we trace the history back, as you know, and we'll prove as we continue to do this, all the way back to the very beginning of time, the early ancient temples of the sun worship, etc. He said it is a worship of the hieroglyphic figure of Baphomet. Baphomet, I've seen drawings of him. Is a drawing of the goat-headed devil. He's, as they said here, he's from, how can I pronounce this word,
Hermaphrodite.
Yes, he's both male and female.
Which is the androgynous god of old that took the form of the goat or the ram when the sun was in the house of the goat or the ram, and was worshipped actually in the main, the most famous place where this god was worshipped was in Mendes at the temple of Mendes. And Baphomet surfaces later, I'm sure we're going to get to that, in the legend of the Knights Templars, which, folks, we've proven on this show time and time again is no legend at all.
Okay, then lastly, so if this force is the serpent devouring its own tail. So he's talking here once again about the serpent and the serpent worship that's worldwide 6,000 years old. The next thing I wanted to bring to your attention is the Holy Bible that I have a copy of. It was given to me by the fellow Godwin himself. He's not a Mason, at least he told me he was not. But I have in front of me a copy of the cover of this Bible. And there's a picture of what appears to be Jesus confounding the priests or the Sadducees, whatever it was, in the temple. And then down the lower right-hand corner, there's a star with one point down. It's a five-pointed star, and the one point is pointing down, and 2 points are pointing up. Now, this is the symbol of the Eastern Star. This Bible is indeed a Masonic Bible. On the cover of it, I saw Bill in your library. You have a copy of the same Bible, and your particular copy is Square and the Compass. Apparently, this particular Bible was intended to be given to women in the Eastern Star, because the Eastern Star is shown on the cover upside down. Now, we're going to talk about what it means when the star is one point down and sometimes up. I have a copy of a book, and all I have in front of me is the cover of it. It's a copy of a book called History of Freemasonry and Concordant Orders. The book was published in 1891 by the board, written by the board of editors, and published by the Pacelli Publishing Company in London, England in 1891.
Why don't you give the name of that book just one more time, just to make sure everybody gets a chance to read it. My readers like to encourage them. In fact, our rule on this show is not to believe anything that anybody says or anything that anybody reads, no matter who wrote it, unless you can check it out for yourself. So most of our listeners do that.
Well, the name of the book is called History of Freemasonry and Concordant Orders. It was published, in fact, it says History of the Ancient and Honorable Fraternity of Free and Accepted Freemasons and Concordant Orders, illustrated, written by a board of editors. Boston, New York, USA, the Fraternity Publishing Company, London, England, 1891. This book, on page Roman numeral 3, meaning the III, it shows the board of editors. There's probably 70 names, I believe, all of which are high-ranking 32nd or 33rd degree masons. Each one is listed by name, his degree, and where he comes from. So this book is a compilation of the writings of maybe 70 different high-ranking masons.
Well, 70 is also a significant number when you look at the makeup of the priesthood, the temple of Solomon, and also the Mormon Church.
That's correct. Now, let's go here now to page 49 of that book. Bill, you'll have to trust me, but if you want to look at this as well, you can confirm it. And here on this page 49 of this book, the caption on the top is the Divine Plan. We have a drawing of the two stars, one with the traditional one point up and the 2 points down, and you reverse it over and you show 2 points up and 1 point down.
And lo and behold, we see
inside the drawing of the star with the 1 point down is a drawing of a goat. The beard is his the lower point, his two ears are the two right angles, and his two horns are the 2 points looking up. It's hard to describe, of course, the drawing of a star.
And this is, in fact, the goat of Mendes.
Exactly. There's no question.
Or Baphomet.
Baphomet is right here on page 49 of this book that we just described. I'm going to read you a short paragraph on page 49. It reads as follows. This star represents God. All that is pure, virtuous, and good when represented with 1 point upward. So when the point goes up, meaning the 2 points are down, mm-hmm. the traditional version that we see everywhere around the world, that represents God with the capital G, with all that is pure, virtuous, and good. Then it says, but when turned with 1 point down, it represents evil. All that is opposed to the good, pure, and virtuous, in fine, it represents the goat of Mendes.
And this is the symbol of the female or women's branch of Freemasonry called the Order of the Eastern Star.
Yes.
And you just read that and witnessed this, and this came right out of a book written and published by Freemasons.
Yes. Because they are admitting that when the star is turned over and 1 point down, it, quote, is opposed to the fine, pure, and virtuous, in fine, it represents the goat of Mendes.
Correct.
Well, here we have a documented evidence that the Eastern Star is 1 point down, and it means the goat of Mendes. The goat of Mendes is, as you just read, Baphomet, and you name it.
Also absolute proof. I should say modern absolute proof piled upon all the other absolute proof that we put out to you that Freemasons are liars. They've been lying to us all the time. And now, most Freemasons on the lower level of this pyramidal structure of organization are just a bunch of fools who join something that they know nothing about, thinking that they're going to get benefits out of this, and they do, material benefits. The spiritual, however, is a vacuum, and they're held there by these supposed brotherhood friendships and dedication to the order and the material benefits they get through their interaction in business with their fellow Masons. And there are real rewards. If a Masonic judge is sitting on the bench and you go into court and you're a Mason and the person facing you in that court is not a Freemason, then you won your case before anybody even opens their mouth. Continue, Ralph. This is really interesting. I hope you're all taking notes. I hope this publication's up, and I hope you verify everything that you're hearing here and everything that you've heard in the past and, of course, we'll hear in the future.
Okay. The next thing, these are all pretty much at random, Bill. They're just in sequence. I'll put them in alphabetical order, so they're nothing to do with any consistent plan.
That's okay.
We're just reading one after the other to document the case that what Bill has been saying and what I've been saying about the Masons and what they're involved with is legitimate. We can read it from your material. Now, this particular quote comes from page 786 of Morals and Dogma. Page 786 of Morals and Dogma. It's going to talk about the colors represented in the hall inside the lodge. The hall. In this degree, it's probably later on, one of the later degrees, I don't have the name, the title here. It says, in this degree, the columns are white with black and red. The hangings are black, and over that, crimson. The colors black, white, and crimson, the new world, appear in the clothing, and the key and bearings are among the symbols. So here we have an invention that black and red and white are the three major colors of the Masonic Lodge. I want you to build in your mind, and all your listeners in their mind, picture the Nazi flag that we saw during World War II. It was a red flag with a white circle in it, maybe two-thirds of the flag, and then inside that was the black swastika.
That's correct.
And now, the white circle, of course, represents the sun. The swastika is a sun. Some of us will also confirm later, but the three colors in the Nazi flag were red, black, and white. And here we learn that in page 786 of the Masonic Lodge, the colors black, white, and red are represented throughout the lodge, throughout the temple, everywhere.
Now, I have something to add to that. I have an 1898 edition of Mackey's History of Freemasonry. And it's seven volumes, of which I have six of the volumes. Volume two is missing. And by the way, if any of you can find volume two of any 1890 edition of Albert Mackey's History of Freemasonry, I'd be willing to purchase that from you, because that's the only volume that I'm lacking. But in this set of the History of Freemasonry, published by Albert Mackey, who is the ultimate historian for Freemasonry, they have a section on crosses. Now, the thing that's really significant here is only one cross is listed, and they devote eight pages of this History of Freemasonry to this one cross. And that cross is the swastika. And they attribute an Aryan origin to it. And in this eight pages, and elsewhere in the History of Freemasonry, and also in the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, and many of their other books, they admit that they are an Aryan organization based upon the fact that the Aryan race is superior to all others. They are racist, and the swastika is their symbol.
Well, I just found a mystery case. I agree with what you're saying. I know about the swastika, and we'll even find some of the references to it later on in our readings today. But here we're talking about the colors black, red, and white. You see those three colors around the world as being the colors of many of the communist and socialist flags around the world. Black, red, and white. It's very common. So I thought that might was kind of interesting. The Masons admit those are their three colors. Now, this is from a book entitled The Lost Keys of Freemasonry by Manly P. Hall. Manly P. Hall is a 33rd degree Mason. Down 2 years ago, the Masons acknowledged him as being one of the great, quote, philosophers, which means writers and researchers in their terms, of Freemasonry. This is on page 100 of his book entitled The Last Keys of Freemasonry by Manly P. Hall. Because this shows the world just how important Masonry is. You and I have been taught by the Masons that they're nothing more than a group who meets on Thursday nights or wherever night they meet, and they put clown costumes on and have burn singers, etc.
We're just a fraternal organization existing for the good of your community.
Okay,
if you believe that, you really are a sheeple.
Let's read what they say. This is page 100 of The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. Quote, Masonry is an ordainer of kings. And what's an ordainer of a king? That's a man that puts him on the throne.
That's correct.
Masonry is an ordainer of kings. It's said to shape the destinies of worlds. So this is not a little lodge on Thursday night. It's not out there to build burn centers and hospitals for the children. This is an ordainer of kings, and a hand to shape the destinies of worlds. That's power.
We're just a fraternal organization existing for the good of your community.
Now let's read this one. This is another book by Manly P. Hall that further talks about the power of the Masonic Lodge. This is a book called What the Ancient Wisdom Expects of Its Disciples. I'll repeat it again. What the Ancient Wisdom Expects of Its Disciples, written by Manly P. Hall. This is on page 58. Listen to this quote. The ancient initiates are the invisible powers behind the thrones of earth, and men are but marionettes dancing while the invisible ones pull the strings. We see the dancer, but the mastermind that does the work remains concealed by the cloak of silence. Does that sound like a lodge that meets on Thursday night? Not to me, it doesn't.
Not at all. Now, folks, with bearing that in mind and understanding that Walt Disney was a member of this secret college, this hidden fraternity, go watch Pinocchio again. go watch Pinocchio again and understand that when he was just the wooden puppet made by his master, our father, Geppetto, that he was you. And he received the gift of the morning star. And listen to that song again, When You Wish Upon a Star. And watch what happens to Pinocchio as he becomes an initiate of the Hidden Order. And this is what your children are being indoctrinated in. And then go back and look at a whole bunch of the other things that Walt Disney put out that your children are watching. And understand, read the new biography that's out on Walt Disney, which I haven't read yet, but I've derived all this information from my own research. He was instrumental in the intelligence community. Every time they held a top-level secret scientific meeting where they discussed the exploration of space, representatives of Walt Disney Studios attended, and I can print that and document it. But go ahead, I just want to show you how insidious these people are.
I'd like to, if I might, reread that quote. I want you to see exactly what they're saying, and also what they think of us, the average American, the person who sits by and believes the Masons are a group of men who meet on Thursday nights. The ancient initiates, now the Masons acknowledge, as you know, Bill, and I know as well, they acknowledge their history back to the ancient initiation ceremonies of the ancient pyramids, etc. So the ancient initiates, meaning them as well, from them now to current,
absolutely,
are the invisible powers behind the thrones of Earth. So the ancient initiates are behind the government that you and I see on the surface. And men are but marionettes. Who's that? Who's there? Who are they talking about? They're talking about you and I. We are marionettes, dancing while the invisible ones pull the strings.
Bah. Bah.
That we see the dancer, but the mastermind that does the work remains concealed by the cloak of silence.
Now, folks, don't feel bad, because most of my life I was in the same situation that a lot of you find yourself in now, just learning about this and saying, gee, how could I be so dumb? How could I be so blind? How could they be doing this to me and to everyone else? We all have to face that somewhere in our lives. And we all have to recognize that we've been very stupid, very ignorant, very apathetic, and we have to face that fault within ourselves and make a vow to change that and change it right now and never let it happen again. This is the purpose of this show, is to wake the sheeple, empower the people, give you powerful tools, show you that you have everything within yourself that it takes to turn this around. You don't need Trojan horse leaders. You don't need to look for some knight in shining armor riding up on a white horse to save you. If you're one of those people, then you're doomed, because there aren't any people who are going to come and save you. You have to save yourself. Wake the sheeple, empower the people, and once that's done, then we together can save freedom for the world. Ralph is one of the great warriors out here on the battlefield, standing with me, fighting this battle that many of you never even knew was going on.
Okay, let's keep going. This is not written by a Mason, but it's written by one who knows about the Mason. This is the book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy by Alice Bailey. Now, I do not know when this book was published. It doesn't say, as far as I can tell, but I believe, Bill, you probably confirmed, I think she wrote around 1920, something in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and she used to publish a newspaper called Lucifer.
Yeah.
And she was at one time the head of Lucis Trust.
If I may, we'll cover it right now. On the bottom of this cover, the book, I have the what they call the frontispiece, Xerox, for this book that I've got in my hand, it says that this was published by the Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, publishing company in New York, United Nations Plaza in New York, and also the Lucis Press Limited in London. And the word Lucis is Latin for Lucifer. They used to call the publishing company the Lucifer Publishing Company.
That's correct, until a lot of people came down around their ears about that, and their offices were and still are in the United Nations building in New York.
Okay, so this book is published by the Lucis Publishing Company out of New York and London. This is page 670 of the book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy. If I may, let's just lay this groundwork down. What she's trying to do by this book is bring them out. She says the externalization, meaning make them visible.
Yeah, she wants to bring the hidden college out into the open. And a lot of people have talked about this. And in fact, even the man who was President Clinton's mentor, Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, said that the only thing he disagreed about their plan, and he was in concert with their plan to take over the world, the only thing he disagreed with is that they were doing it in secret.
Yes, exactly. Okay, now here's page 670, just one quick paragraph. It's one long sentence long. The one thing which humanity needs today is the realization that there is a plan that's abruptly working out through all world happenings, and that all that has occurred in man's historical past and all that has happened lately is assuredly in line with that plan.
That's correct. And I might want to remind you all that one of the greatest backers who really gave Boatwright his financial start was a man named Clarence Fisher, who was a very highly degreed Freemason, who wrote a book also called The Plan. And in his book, he outlined a plan for putting in a new government in the United States of America, which would be a scientific government. Do away with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and change the whole form of government throughout the world. You've got to wake up. You must wake up. If you don't, then why don't you just reach down and put the chains on your own ankles and save everybody a lot of trouble?
Well, going back to Alice Bailey, she's saying that everything that's happened from major events of the past are in accordance with the plan run by these initiates.
That's correct. And you can trace this plan and people talking about this plan all the way back to the ancient Egyptian temples of initiation in ancient Cairo.
Now, we just learned that. The ancient initiates are involved in this plan. So we're seeing, once again, these people trace their own history back to the very beginnings of time.
That's correct.
And the Gnostics accept that as well. They claim that they trace their history back to this ancient mystery religion. Now, this is from the book entitled Rex Hudson's book called The Bridge to Light. This is page 150. This is not talking about the eagle. As you know, Bill, the eagle is the national symbol of America. It's on the right-hand side of the back of the dollar bill. By the way, those of you who have the ability to magnify that eagle or drawn on the back of our great seal might find it of some interest. If you can count the feathers on the right wing, there's 32, and on the left wing, there's 33. And I know people say that's some sure coincidence, or the artist made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, it's a coincidence. 32 degrees is the highest number of degrees in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and the 33rd degree is the meritorious degree given for work toward the furtherance of the great plan. That's exactly what that degree is awarded for, and that's what Boatwright is working for now, if he hasn't already achieved it, because he said at Freedom Call 90 in Las Vegas at the Showboat Hotel when he introduced himself that he was, and I quote, a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
Okay. Let's go back to the eagle. This is on page 150 of the book entitled The Bridge to Light, written by Rex Hutchins. This emblem, meaning the eagle, is of great antiquity, figuring in the symbolic inventory of the Egyptians as the sun. As wisdom is attained to reason, the eagle is also symbolic of reason. Page 150 of Rex Hutchins' book.
Okay, hold that thought, because we've got to take our break now. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after this very short pause.
Remember, that is Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona. Address it to Kaji.
Hello, folks. This is William Cooper speaking to you now for our sponsor, Swiss America Trading. You know, they pay for all of the airtime for the hour of the time. This is extremely important because nobody could afford to pay for all this airtime, and if we had to do it, eventually we would have to stop this program. You would not be able to hear it anymore. Now, I know there are many of you out there who certainly don't want that to happen. If you want that to happen, then I want you to support our sponsor as they have supported this show, The Hour of the Time, and you. It doesn't hurt the call to find out what they have to offer. And believe me, folks, if you are concerned about your financial future, you should be doing some business with Swiss America Trading in some way or another. They have many different types of investments. You don't have to go with what they initially recommend. You can request that they give you a list of all the other investments, but they are the experts. They're not going to steer you wrong. And I know these people personally. I know Gene Miller personally. I know Craig Smith personally. They are good, good people. They are moral people. They care about the message of the hour, the time, and I'm going to tell you right now, folks, they really care about you. So call Swiss America Trading right now and take some steps to protect your assets from the economic collapse that's coming in our near future. Call now 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. For the first 200 callers, you'll receive Harry Figge's report entitled Tackle the Debt. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, tell them that you really appreciate their sponsorship of the Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper, and you'll also receive a free newsletter on protecting your future. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Remember, hard assets, gold, silver, precious metals, the other hard assets that you can hold in your hand, see, touch, feel, taste, clink against something in here, are the only things in history that have really protected anyone against inflation, economic collapse, depression, all the financial bugaboos that we believe are coming in our near future. By protecting your future, folks, you're also protecting the future of this radio program, the Hour of the Time, and, of course, freedom for the world. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Sure that our listeners are not going to forget your guest appearance on the Hour of the Time for 5 nights in a row for quite a while because you're really bringing to their ears some verification of a lot of the things that I've been telling them for many months, over a year now. And you didn't get any of this from me, did you?
No. This is, once again, Bill, we're reading this from your own literature. You can't argue with the sources. These are their legitimate books that they publish, they tell us, they acknowledge. In fact, Rex Hutchins himself gave me this copy of the book I made in Tucson. By the way, it's interesting. Rex's book was published when he was a 32nd degree. After he published this book, or the council published his book, I've been told that Rex became a 33rd degree Mason. So Rex has now been illuminated. He lives in Tucson, by the way. The only thing I told him to do is I don't think he will.
I want to apologize to out there for that whole coffee. I breathed when I should have swallowed when I took a drink of coffee. So please forgive me.
Okay, let's continue with another quote from Rex's book, Facts to Write, on page 142. He continues to discuss the eagle as a symbol of the Masons and of the ancient initiates. He says the eagle, on page 142, the eagle also represented the great Egyptian sun god, Amon-Ra. It is the symbol of the infinite supreme reason or intelligence. Here we see once again a connection back of the eagle, back way back to the very beginning worship of Amon-Ra, the sun god. And there's also this thought about the intelligence reason. This is throughout their literature. You can find it constantly, references of the eagle back to the sun god, etc.
Well, this is connected with their Luciferian philosophy that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive god and was set free from this bondage by Lucifer, former agent Satan, with the gift of intellect, primordial knowing, and that's what that's all about. They believe that Satan told them the truth, that man surely will not die if he eats from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and will, in fact, himself become God.
That's correct.
And that's the promise of all these mystery religions, and even of the Mormon Church.
That's correct. Okay, now we're going back to the fucking hell of what the ancient wisdom expects of its disciples, Dominion T. Hall.
page 1, page 23. Here's what he said. In the remote past, the gods, plural, small g gods, walked with man. And they labored with, preparing them to carry on the work of the gods. They left the keys of their great wisdom, which was the knowledge of good and evil. So here, once again, we're back to the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's where it all starts, and all of you people out there who all your life have been sitting around saying, religion is a joke, it doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you something. It may be a joke to you. You may be an atheist. You may not even believe in God. But if the people who hold the power to make nations rise and fall, the power to make armies march at their beck, to chop off your head if they want to in the dead of night, if they believe it, then it's not a bunch of bunk, folks. It's something that you need to understand and know. And from my own personal point of view, if you don't believe in God, you have no protection from what's coming whatsoever.
Okay, now, once again, we're going to continue with this thought. I've got a couple of quotes, I guess, on this good and evil. This is from page 844 of Morals and Dogma. This is written by Albert Pike, another great Masonic writer. Here's what he's got. Now, he's reading this particular quote. It is in the prophecy, in quotation, so I'll read that first, and then we'll continue. Quote, ye shall be like the Elohim, knowing good and evil. That's in quotes and in italics. That thought had the serpent of Genesis head, and the tree of knowledge became the tree of death. Notice what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That Lucifer, that God gave us the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and told us not to eat from there because if we did, we would become as God.
Well, he said if we did, we would surely die.
Yes.
And we'd become as God, knowing
good and evil.
The difference between good and evil.
So what God was doing was saying to mankind in the Garden of Eden, I am going to teach you what is right and wrong. You are not to decide, because when you do, as we know, you mess it up. Like Adolf Hitler decided he knew what was good and evil. So what we're saying here is that the purpose of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Bible was to allow man to be free, but under the guidance and of the truth of the Bible, the truth meaning the moral absolutes. So here we now have this tree now becoming the tree of death.
That's correct.
For 6,000 years, going back now, it's a continuation of the quote on page 844 Morals and Dogma. For 6,000 years, the liars of knowledge, who are that's us, toil and die at the foot of this tree, and may again become the tree of knowledge. So what they're saying is that they're hoping that after 6,000 years, they will allow this tree, us, to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it will no longer be the tree of death, but the tree of life.
And there's another distinction here that is the basis for all of the misinterpretation of this by these people, is that God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of life, ye shall surely die and become as gods, and that you will know the difference between good and evil. Now, he didn't say man will become God. He said man will be as God in the fact that he will know the difference between good and evil. He didn't say that man is going to become God, and he said the promise is that you will surely die. Now, the promise of Satan to Adam and Eve was that you will not die, and you will become gods. And that's what these people believe. And it is false, it is a lie, and, well, if you don't believe me, just watch Shirley MacLaine as she grows old and dies while she's insisting that she's God.
Yes, I remember that in her movie that they showed on television. She stands by the edge of the lake or the river or the ocean or this, with her arms outstretched shouting, I am God.
Yeah.
I love to ask those people that believe that. I say, listen, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you get all of you together that believe that, and next Thursday morning, create a new universe. Do it all together. All of you together.
Create anything.
Yeah, make a new universe. In fact, we'll move the other one over and make a new one. Let's continue now, once again, with this thought about good and evil. This is from page 169 of Morals and Dogma, written by Albert Pike. He says, the true use of knowledge is to distinguish good from evil. So once again, we are to use our mind to decide for ourselves what is good and evil.
That's right.
Well, we're just continuing somewhat at random. This is from the book entitled The Secret Destiny of America, written by Manly P. Hall. This is on page 14. Of the book, in the very beginning, it says, we're talking about the Great Seal of the United States. The design on the reverse of the Great Seal, let's carefully point out what that is. The reverse side is the one with the pyramid and eye, and the phrases, Annuit Septis and Nobis Ordo Corpus. So he says the design on the reverse of the Great Seal is even more definitely related to the order of the quest. the pyramid in the all-seeing eye represent the universal house surmounted by the radiant symbol of the great architect of the universe.
That's right. And notice, folks, he said the order of the quest. Where have you heard that before? If you read my book, I mean, I make the point that the people behind this call themselves the members of the order of the quest.
Okay. So the order
amongst
the,
other things.
But they were the ones that brought America up, created America.
That's
they were
right.
The ones who set this nation up, according to Manly P. Hall. Notice, by the way, the title of his book. It's called The Secret Destiny of America.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, wait a minute, this is, what do you mean secret destiny? This is the land of the free, you know, the we the people, by the people, for the people. No.
You mean we're not determining our own future? It's already been determined for us?
That's what the Communist are saying. And we Americans stand by and allow this to go by unnoticed. It is bizarre. He's telling us we have a secret destiny. He knows what it is. He knows who's bringing it to us. We've already seen them. They're mocking us by calling us men or marionettes. We see the dancer, but we don't see the one pulling the strings, meaning us. And we allow this. And then when you and I come along and try to point it out, we're the ones brought under
right. But they mock us all the time because they think we're too stupid to figure it out. Oliver Stone and Fletcher Pottie were mocking us in the movie JFK when they asked the question, who killed Kennedy, and then back off and show us the Washington Monument, which answers the question. They mock us when they put the eternal flame, which is the symbol of their God, the fire, the sun, the light, Lucifer, on the grave of our fallen president. And I can go on and on and on and on. They've been throwing it on our face for centuries. And we're just now beginning, some of us are not sheep anymore. And we're just now beginning to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and wake up to our own potential, our own powers. And that's what we want to do. We want to wake you up. We want to empower you. We want to show you the reality compared to the fantasy world that you've been living in all your life. And we want you to get out here on the battlefield with Ralph and I and many other real patriots, not Trojan horses, who you've been following for most of your lives.
Okay, once again, now we're going to continue with our subject of the Great Seal. This is once again written from The Secret Destiny of America. This particular quote is on pages 177 and 178 of The Secret Destiny of America, written by Manly P. Hall, 33rd Degree Mason. This design on the obverse side, now the obverse side is the one with the pyramid and the, I'm sorry, the obverse side is the one with the eagle.
The eagle. The reverse is the pyramid.
That's correct. So we'll go back. If the design on the obverse side, meaning the eagle side, of the seal is stamped with the signature of the Order of the Quest, the design on the reverse is even more definitely related to the old mysteries.
Absolutely.
So that's what we got to understand, that the eagle is only a symbol of the sun god. What's this pyramid all about? What's the eye all about? Why the Latin phrases? He's saying that side has far more significance to our secret destiny than does the eagle side.
It certainly does. And for those of you who have any of my workshops or lectures, I have shown you what the order of the trapezoid works out to in a formula, which in the New Age movement is called the pyramid under the pyramid. When something is created, its opposite is always created at the same time. So the symbols are really creating this company under God, which they didn't. It was not the God that you thought it was. It was really the God which they worship, Lucifer, created the exact opposite. Which you have to see this worked out, but it's on my tape, the Atlanta, Georgia tape, which is 7 hours long. For those of you who are on it, it's in for an info pack, and we'll send you information on that. And by the way, while I'm at it, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, a number 10 size self-addressed stamped envelope to this address, Ralph, R-A-L-P-H. We're going to make it easy on you. P.O. Box 536. That's Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona. 85702. For those of you who don't know much about Arizona, Tucson is spelled T-U-C-S-O-N. Again, send it to Ryan, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. I'll try to repeat this again before the end of the program, but it will be on the hotline number. If you missed it, call the hotline and you can get this address. Send for this catalog. Ralph has written some wonderful books, The Unseen Hand, The New World Order. He has produced a lot of videotapes. They're all in here. He has graciously consented to give us a small percent of whatever you purchase to help us in our research and to keep this radio show going, and just generally help out here with the finances that we need. So So when you order products from Ralph Epperson, you are to be helping out the hour of the time and the Citizens Agency Joint Intelligence. So please do that.
Let's go, Ralph. I know you've got a lot of other
stuff. We're going to keep going. Right. This is once again from page 181 of The Secret Destiny of America by Manly Palmer Hall. He said, quote, there is only one possible origin for these symbols. He's talking about the symbols in the history of the United States. And that is the secret society's pill, which came to this country 150 years before the World War. Now let's stop right there. I've got two paragraphs, two quotes to read on this particular page, but let's just stop right there. If you take 1776 minus 150, you're back to around the early 1600s, 1626, when the pilgrims came to this country.
That's correct.
So what he's saying, we could argue all day about the pilgrims, but what he's saying is that even if we conceive those were decent, God-fearing men, at the same time they came, these secret societies came to America for what purpose? To create a secret destiny in the United States. And they're the ones who designed the Great Seal of the United States. Let me continue with the second part of that quote on page 181 of The Secret Destiny of America. He said, the Great Seal was directly inspired by these orders of the human quest. And now he set forth the purpose for this nation, and that purpose was seen and known to the Founding Fathers, who were the ones who put the Great Seal together in 1782. Can you start to understand what we're talking about, Bill? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
In fact, I know when Columbus set sail and discovered America, he had three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. He bore on the sails of his ships the device of the Knights Templars, the red Maltese cross. And that was the symbol of the Knights Templars. He also planted a Templar flag on the beach of the first beach that he landed on as the symbol of the society that he represented. He also represented, we know, the Order of the Quest called the Order of the Golden Fleece or the Jason Society. And we found historical connections between him and Sir Francis Bacon and many other people.
So when you mentioned the Jason Society, I do not know this. This is my interpretation of that name.
Mm-hmm.
In June and December of each year, the sun appears to start to come back from its journey to the south. June through December, June 22nd to the 25th of December, the 25th of June, and the 22nd to the 25th of December. If you take the months between those various dates, July, August, September, October, November, you get J-A-S-O-N. So Jason, I believe, I don't know, this is my own opinion, stands for the 6 months, or the actually 5 months, July, August, September, October, November, J-A-S-O-N, for the 5 months when the sun is in its hierarchy coming back to mankind.
That's correct. And if you didn't have so much stuff there to go through, and if you weren't the guest, I could spend a few hours on the meaning of the of Jason and his search for the Golden Fleece. This is all has to do with the occult, the secret societies, and the search for the ultimate. Well, I'm not going to go into it. That's another program.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ralph. And if I get started, I won't stop.
That's the thing about this, Bill, and I know you know this as well as I do. This material is so overwhelming. It's everywhere around us. It's not one book of two. It's hundreds and literally thousands of research. It's there. All you got to do is find it.
That's right, and it's more interesting than any Disneyland or any novel that anybody could possibly ever write. Now, I just can't understand when I see somebody sitting there reading a novel, learning nothing, filling their head with junk, and they could be really researching the real history of the world and what really makes things work. And this is so interesting and so exciting. And then have the knowledge that it takes to take us out of their control, where we can have some real say in our own destinies and determine the future of the world. And it just makes me sick that the people don't understand this. They think that the fantasy book they're reading is really good. They don't understand that nobody in this world has an imagination that can beat the real situation.
That's true. The next quote I want to refer to is from a book entitled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, written by Benjamin Crean. Benjamin Crean is, as you have, running around the United States and probably Europe as well, talking about the appearance of a man that he calls the Christ,
Lord Maitreya. And this is a book that talks about Lord Maitreya and his, quote, reappearance, unquote. I want to read now from pages 28 and 29. Here's what he says. In every age, teachers have come forth from the spiritual center to enable mankind to take its next evolutionary step. All perfect men in their time are sons of men who became sons of God, who have revealed their innate divinity. They are the custodians of a plan for the evolution of humanity and the kingdoms of nature. This plan works out through the agency of the esoteric, meaning concealed, hierarchy of masters who substand all world events and constitute the invisible because unknown governments of the planet. So here he's saying once again, there's a plan at work that's behind it, that the ancient initiates who have come forth to save us and save mankind.
When he talks about the sons of God, he's really talking about the sons of light, and the light is Lucifer, and their God is Lucifer. And when they talk about God, they are not talking about the God that Christians and the followers of the prophet Muhammad and many other people in this earth consider to be God.
That's correct. Okay, once again now, let's now start examining who this hierarchy is. In page 181 of his book, entitled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, Benjamin Cream says this. Marxism and communism, Karl Marx, is not only a moral economic theory, it is to do with the basis. Marxism is not only a narrow economic theory, it is to do with the basic laws of mankind's nature and interrelationship. Man is ruined. That essentially is what Marx is saying. Here's a man praising Karl Marx. And I'll tell you why in a minute. He's saying that this hierarchy is based on communism, Marxism. I'm going to prove that again in a few minutes. In fact, in the next quote, on page 180 of the same book, The Reappearance of the Christ, he says this. Here is also a question asked of him by some interviewer. He says, the author, the questioner says, the interviewer says to Mr. Cream, you mentioned that Marx was working for the hierarchy. Who's the hierarchy? The group leading this plan.
The leaders of the secret societies, plural, who are bringing about the new order.
And here's Mr. Cream's answer, quote, page 180 of The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. He says, quote, Marx was indeed a member of the hierarchy. So here he's admitting that Karl Marx is inside the inner circle of those planning our future in this new world order, this secret teachings, you name it.
Well, Senator Joseph McCarthy was actually right in what he felt was happening to this country, and that we'd been infiltrated and were being destroyed from within. He just didn't know what to call it, did he?
That's correct. Well, Joseph McCarthy was, as long as he was talking about the Communist Party and saying there are communists that work in America, he was praised as a great American hero.
Mm-hmm.
You owe him about that. If you attack Angela Davis and Gus Hall, you're a great American. But the problem with McCarthy is he looked up and saw the connection between the government people and these communists. And that's when he got into trouble. He looked up. Don't look up. Look down.
Well, that was his whole purpose, was to say that these people only exist and their goal is to create a worldwide communist government. But
there is our
government
and anything. That's right. And that's what you have to destroy by telling
them to make money. Well, I think that's the real reason James Forrestal committed suicide, because he was initiated into the 33rd degree of Freemasonry and then began to find out who the others were and what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he didn't really commit suicide, folks. He was thrown out that window.
Yes, I believe that's true. I tell you that in my book as well. Let's talk about that briefly. Forrestal was indeed right in the middle of this thing. You're right.
Right.
He was an international banker, had become the first Secretary of Defense. He apparently, during the meetings at Yalta, Potsdam, and Tehran, started to see what was going on in this world. And you're right, Bill. I commend you for saying that.
Right.
He started to figure out, and within days of that, he was keeping diaries, by the way.
That's right. He was fired by Truman,
and then picked off the streets of Washington, D.C., and taken to Bethesda and labeled, quote, insane, unquote.
That's right.
And then
they had no authority to do that, by the way.
No, there's no authority whatsoever.
They confined him to the middle ward of Bethesda Naval Hospital. Same place, by the way, where they took Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
And Nixon, by the way,
mentioned that if he went to Bethesda, he'd never come out alive. Right? We remember that when he had this piracy in his leg.
That's right. And when he finally held a press conference at Bethesda, he told the members of the press corps there, he said, if it weren't for you guys, I'd be dead. That's his exact words.
Okay, I'm going to skip by the next few quotes because I think that we probably are getting close to the end of this program. If we have time, we'll get into listening about Hiram a bit and then and some of these.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to cut you off here, but we're gonna be back tomorrow. Can you be back tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
Fantastic. Okay, we've got to go, folks. Don't forget, send a self-addressed stamp, number 10 envelope to Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona 85702. Once again, Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona 85702. If you order anything from the catalog, folks, please specify that you listen to the hour of the time so that we will get a small percentage to help us with our efforts and to keep this show going. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being such good listeners out there. Remember, take these references that we give you and look them up. Good night, and God bless you all.
Nelson reminding you that we no longer have the hotline number. Call 1-602-333-5174 for information from CAGI, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence.